Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'll be joined by Vince Carter and Kendrick Perkins shortly, but first, let's talk about yesterday. Sports are so often a mirror for who we are. Sports show us what happens when we work together for a common goal and what happens when we don't. Sports show us the very edges of what the human body is capable of, how high, how fast we can push ourselves, and they show us what happens when the mental strain is just too much. So last night, as our bleeding country reeled from yet another body blow, it was once again sports that had to reflect the moment, had to decide how to move forward, or even whether to move forward at all. In Miami, the Heat and Celtics discussed not playing very seriously. So seriously, in fact, well, hear it straight from Boston coach Brad Stevens.
We just scrapped warm-ups and sat in the locker room and talked. And to be honest, at 30 minutes, I didn't think we were playing. And then coaches left the room, players finished talking and chose to play. So, I mean, I called my wife and told her, I don't think we're playing. And then, 10 minutes later, we had decided to.
They did indeed decide to play, but first they knelt during the national anthem, a decision that was echoed in Phoenix by a ring of unity from the Raptors and Suns, and on bended knee again by the Clippers and Warriors, several of whom wore T-shirts saying Black Lives Matter. In Milwaukee, they knelt after tip-off. Both the Bucks and the Pistons, on each team's first possession of the game, knelt for 7 seconds to signify the 7 times Kenosha police shot Jacob Blake point blank and in front of his children over the summer. Blake's shooting was once again front and center in Wisconsin after a grand jury failed to indict any of the officers involved, the rationale being that such an excessive use of force was justified. The hypocrisy of that was exposed less than 24 hours later when police in D.C. largely just acquiesced to a group of rioters with guns storming the U.S. Capitol. It was yet another stark reminder of the different set of rules for white people in America versus those of color, a sting that was frankly felt all over the league.
Could you imagine today if those were all black people storming the Capitol and what would have happened? You know, so that to me is a picture that's worth 1,000 words for all of us to see and probably something for us to reckon with again, you know. No police dogs turn on people, no billy clubs hitting people, people peacefully being escorted out of the Capitol. So it shows that you can disperse a crowd peacefully, I guess, would be the one thing.
It just goes to show the policing system was built against black people, you know, black and brown people. And that's the reason those reactions are different. That's the reason someone can walk or run or bust their way through or whatever into the Speaker of the House office and put their feet on the desk like they're sitting at home on their couch. That's, you know, that's, and nothing happens.
You know, what happened today in particular is nothing but a joke. With everything that's going on, you know, the losses of many African-American lives and the plight of people of color. And then, you know, for these human beings to come out and act like they're being discriminated against because they lost a fair election or that they have to wear masks is a complete joke. You know, our president-to-be, you know, Joe Biden comes out and says, you know, America, we're better than this. This is un-American. But, you know, to be honest, I'm 20 years old, but I feel like this is as American as it gets. You know, I think today was of my lifetime, probably the biggest flex of white power and white privilege that there is.
We see the two different USAs that we live in. It's sad. It truly is. It's sad. But all in all, we came to the conclusion, look, man, we're going to go hoop. We know what it is. You can't fool us. You're not fooling nobody else. But like I said, it's just sad, man. And everybody sees it. Everybody knows it now. Like, you can't say that you don't understand it.
We just, you know, just made a decision as a whole just to take a knee. But, you know, my personal opinion, that wasn't enough. You know, I don't think we should have even played. But, you know, we did, and you know, we came together, and you know, we thought taking a knee was, you know, appropriate.
I would have been all for the league just shut down. I think this was something that definitely should have been addressed. You know, but there's a middle line to it. You know, there's a fine line to it, because it does give some positivity. But I definitely would have been all for if the league shut down today, to kind of just, you know, bring light to what's really going on in the world.
This tweet from Cavaliers coach J.B. Bickerstaff, quote, "My 8-year-old little girl told my wife she was scared to go to sleep because of the fear that those bad people in D.C. would come to Cleveland." How many of us spent part of yesterday trying to explain all this to our kids? I know I did. How many of us watched what unfolded on our televisions yesterday with the same sickness in our stomachs that you heard there in Doc Rivers' voice? Sports are a mirror for who we are, and right now we are hurt, and we are tired, and we are broken. But we are also still moving forward. That hope that one day things will be better, sometimes despite years of failure, that is, of course, one of the prime parts of being a sports fan, and a reflection of who we are as humans, too. There is always a chance to turn things around, one game at a time, or in our country's case, one day at a time. Let's see how we do. And now I would like to welcome in 8-time All-Star Vince Carter, 2008 NBA champ Kendrick Perkins. Vince, what was your reaction to the events that took place in our nation's capital yesterday and how the NBA community once again had to respond?
Painful. It was sickening, disgusting. But I think a lot of these guys said it best. You're seeing the privileges in what you can and what you cannot do, and who can do it and who cannot do it. And once again, hats off to the NBA, all players buying in, coming together for a common goal. It didn't really matter of who you voted for. You're seeing everybody come together. I mean, you're just seeing this here, and Doc Rivers said it. And a lot of people, a lot of my friends, we had a conversation in our group chat, and the one thing we said is, can you imagine, like, look, you see these folks walking in right now.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably see every one of those bodies on the ground in bloodshed. More than likely. More than likely.
Perk, I know you feel that way.
Well, I do. And everything that the NBA Brotherhood has stood for and is still standing for, I'm all in with it, Rachel and Vince. And I think, you know, you could tell from the coaches to the players, they were speaking from the heart. And once again, they're using their platform. We didn't hear pregame nothing about basketball. We didn't hear postgame nothing about the performance that they had on the court. They talked about the real life issue at hand, and that's what transpired yesterday at the nation's capital. Here's my problem, and I tweeted this out yesterday, you know, that I blame one person for all of this. And that old saying that came out way before any one of us time, one bad apple spoils the bunch. This is what's happening right now in America. And we was already divided, but now we even more divided. And I hear J.B. Bickerstaff talking about his kid and how they're scared. And all the parents out there in the world that have kids can relate to that, even myself. But past that, I'm scared for myself and the safety for everyone in the United States, because if you look at the situation, no one could tell me that action, that wasn't planned. And so with that being said, I don't know what else is planned. I don't know what else someone else is thinking to do right now in the next couple weeks or the next couple months, or what people are plotting to do to anybody at any given time or any given place in the United States. And my problem that I have with it, I hear everyone saying this, and they're right, that if it was African-Americans that was doing that, they would be shot dead or it would be more bodies or more murders than just four. But one thing I could say, too, to add to that, is that if there was President Obama in that situation and conducting himself like President Trump is doing right now, he probably would have been leaving out of the White House in handcuffs. And it's just not right. And once again, it just shows that we are living in two separate countries, two different Americas, and it just shows the privilege, and I'm very hurt by it.
I felt like that point was so eloquently made so many times yesterday, and there's a reason we showed you guy after guy after guy, because it's important to see the breadth of NBA players speaking out on this. Vince, I'm curious, you played 22 years in the NBA. How have you seen things evolve that players were getting to that point last night where they were speaking so much truth to power and so openly?
Right. So I tell you, I mean, you just look over the course of, like I said, of my 22 years, and you've been in the business a very long time, and you just seeing the athlete, not even just the black athlete, the athlete now stepping up on that platform and their willingness to be in the forefront and use their platform. It's you're seeing more guys do it and be willing to do it. And it's unbelievable to see this young generation that are in the forefront stepping up. And they're taking onus, and they said, "We're not afraid. We're not afraid of the consequences. It's whatever." And they're you seeing the culture, and you're seeing the black athlete, you're seeing the white athlete. I mean, you see right there, everybody's in unity. You're mm-hmm. seeing white athletes speaking up for the better of the black athlete, their teammate, their brother. That's what it's about. I know you wouldn't have seen that my rookie year, my first couple of years. You don't see that. So mm-hmm. Yeah, salute to this young generation who are really putting their feet on the ground and speaking up. And that's how change has begun to happen, because of them. And for our generation, yeah, we're like, okay, this is what we want, so we follow suit. So salute to them.
Absolutely. And Kendrick, I know that changed while you were in the league as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and Vince is right, though, Rachel. I mean, you look at guys like Jaylen Brown and Malcolm Brogdon, just those two young guys alone, right? They're not even 25 yet, but they have old souls, and they're great leaders. And I admire them. I look up to them. Every time Jaylen Brown gets a chance to talk about in social justice and things that's going on in the world that's not supposed to be going on in our country, but that is happening, I drop everything I'm doing and listen to him, because he's always teaching me, and I'm older than him. And it's a great thing to see that this NBA is in great hands for his leadership-wise, not on the court, but off the court. The things that they're doing in the community is beautiful, the way that they're speaking out. And you could tell it's not a front, it's not fake. They're very passionate about it, and they're really serious about it. These are young guys that are making hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions of dollars. They don't have to do this. They're willing to put it all out on the line for the safety of everybody and to everybody to get treated equally. And the last thing I'm going to say is this. To every leader out there that's leading and trying to, do things the right way and trying to persuade for change and doing things for the right cause, just be careful, because, we lost a lot of great leaders on standing on the front line. And right now we're living in a sick, evil world, and you got to make sure that you're very, very careful on how you move, where you move, and where you go. So that's just how I feel about it.
Rachel. Mm-hmm. Hey, Rachel Perk, if I could add one more thing to that. We talk about the young guys and all that, but I also want to kind of give some credit and salute the stars of our league that are older, the LeBron James, there's D Wade. I mean, these, we talk about LeBron James has the biggest platform. And we know in past, there's some of the stars of stars back in the day were a little hesitant to do so. He can care less what you think about him. He's stepping up in the forefront right along with the young generation. And using his voice, whether people like it or not, he's allowed to use his voice. We as athletes, you as a human are allowed to use your voice. So how is it a problem when we, the athlete, have something to say and have our opinion and voice in our opinion for change, like you said, Perk, but it's a problem. And I want to salute the LeBron James and all of the other superstars, Chris Paul, so many guys out there, the veterans of the league as well, who are doing great things as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, right? Because when Trayvon Martin was killed, it was the Miami Heat who stood up, took that photo with the hoodies on, and that was really the rebirth of the start of this new athlete activism in the NBA. I always say we expect NBA players to be leaders in their community. We ask them to go do community events, hand out school supplies, be there for families in need with food, other supplies, things like that. If you want them to lead the community, you have to listen to their voices when they want to shape that community to be less violent, better education for their children and people who look like them, less fear. We ask these athletes to be involved, and they are saying, yes, I am here, I am involved. And they are some of the most vocal, most present, most high-profile young men and women in this country, certainly some of the most high-profile young African-American men and women in this country. And by saying what so many other people are thinking, it lets people know on the ground, hey, it's okay for me to feel like that too. I was so impressed with all of those guys last night, just as we talked yesterday about the women of the WNBA doing the same thing during their season. And I think we can expect more to come, and that's a good thing. All right, guys, coming up, we are going to get back to the NBA action on the court. The Sixers have the league's best record, have won 5 straight. But with a tough schedule coming up, how long can they keep it going? We will figure that out next on The Jump. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by Vince Carter, Kendrick Perkins, and it's time to play one of our favorite games here on the show, Something, Nothing, or Everything. Shout out our friend Kevin Wilde, starting with Bradley Beal, who dropped a career-high 60 piece last night. Beal had 57 through 3 quarters, was held to 3 on 1-for-6 shooting in the fourth, and after the game, he was not pleased.
You know, I'm pissed off, I'm mad. You know, I don't count any of my, you know, career highs, they've been in losses. So, you know, I don't give a damn. You throw it right out the window with the other 2 or 3 I had. I just want to win. You know, sometimes it forces me to score 50, 60, whatever the case may be, but I just want to win and whatever that looks like. So, came up a little short tonight.
So, Vince, is the Warriors losing despite that 60-piece from Beal, something, nothing, or everything? Wizards.
I think it's something to me for Bradley Beal. At the end of the day, I hear what he's saying, and it's cool. But at, you know, when you're scoring, you're talking about 60 points. Mm-hmm. It's only a few guys in our league ever when they score. When you're talking about scoring 50s and 60 points, like you're like, all right. When AI used to score, you're like, all right, cool. He scored another 50. When Kobe scored it, you're like, all right, cool. He scored another 50, 60, or whatever. You know, I scored 50 points. It was a big deal, win or loss.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I think for him, yeah, you got to cherish these moments in scoring 60 points, because there's not a lot of guys in our league that's doing that. Now, we know a few, and that guy, Steph Curry, was special in a win. But I say this, for the organization, you know, they're trying to get, like, on the up and up and get back in the thing. So he makes it not a big deal, so that's fine. So I think it's nothing. But he has to cherish these moments.
It should be something.
Yeah.
Well,
it should be.
Well, you know, I think it's everything. And listen, I never scored 50 in the NBA, never came close to scoring 50. My career high was 29. So I don't even know how it feels to even touch 30. But I do know, I understand what you're saying, Vince, about him not taking it for granted, that his special individual performance. But I feel Bradley Beal frustration. And Rachel, you remember when I came on here last week and I told you, I said that the Washington Wizards defense was so bad that they couldn't guard, you know, old folks at a nursing home at recess. Well, I tried to take a light on them and give them the benefit of the doubt, but guess what? They can't guard a parking lot full of parked cars right now. And here it is, you have a guy that's going out there and giving you 60 points. They scored 135 points, but gave up 141. I don't care how many big nights individually you're going to have or how many points you're going to score as a team, but if you're not going to defend, it's a problem. So this is everything to me, especially because I put the Wizards, I had them on a high threshold coming into this season, saying that they were going to be a top 5 team in the Eastern Conference. And you know I don't like to look bad, so I'm very disappointed in the Washington Wizards right now. So this is everything.
Well, let's flip around to the other side of that game, to the Sixers. They hold the league's best record now, 7-1. They won their 5th straight in that gutsy win over the Wizards. Is it something, nothing, or everything, Perk, on the Philadelphia side? Because you can take a look at Philly's next 5 games. They face the Nets, the Nuggets, the Hawks, 2 games against the Heat, the Grizzlies. It's a lot coming up.
It is a lot, and it's everything, because now they're going to get challenged, right? And here's why I say it's everything. Are they probably going to lose a game or two? Probably so. I mean, dealing with the unique situation of the NBA, teams are losing games that they normally don't lose. I get that. But what I want to see is something out of the Philadelphia 76ers when they play the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Are they going to come in relaxed? And Vince, you could contest to this, because you know sometimes when stars are out, the other team could come in and be relaxed and not really take it that serious. I want to see if the Philadelphia 76ers are still going to play inspiring basketball, winning basketball both ends, and still play that high-energy game.
Yeah, I think it's everything as well, and I agree with you, because I tell you, the one thing they have now is a little swagger. They're feeling good about themselves. And now you're going into Brooklyn playing against a team that's who is projected to be in the finals. This is your test. This is your test. It's like, okay, now what they're saying in this locker room, all right, you know, the net to the Nets, but we 7-1 right now. We feeling good. They're playing with a 5-game winning streak, a lot to accomplish, and they're trying to prove that they belong. So I think this is everything. This is a great situation for them to be in. And what's really helping them, everybody's healthy. Their stars are starting. Everybody's bought in and what Doc Rivers is trying to sell. And I think when you get a new voice in there, sometimes you have your success early. Good things are happening. And this is what's happening right now for them.
All right, I want to move on, guys, because Kawhi Leonard played last night. And why is that a big deal? Well, it was the second night of a back-to-back, which Kawhi hadn't played both nights of a back-to-back since April of 2017. That was several uniforms ago, guys. He played for the Spurs. He was an MVP finalist that season, by the way. Yesterday marked Kawhi's first back-to-back as a Clipper. And Ty Lue said that Kawhi told the team entering the season he was feeling healthy, planned on playing back-to-back. So, Perk, is Kawhi doing this first back-to-back both games since 2017, something, nothing, or everything?
It's everything, and you hit it right with what you said about Ty Lue, is that it's showing us that he's finally healthy. That's the most important part. But the second thing is that it shows his commitment to the team. It shows his respect to Ty Lue, because we heard the rumors. We saw the articles this past summer about Kawhi getting special treatment. So for Kawhi to take that next jump and show them that, hey, I'm healthy, I'm going to play back-to-backs. You know I'm not a vocal leader, but that's kind of leading by example and to me in my eyes. And I think that's a positive step and going in the right direction for the Los Angeles Clippers.
And, guys, I think it's everything as well. For also another reason. I mean, they think about, in Pert, you've talked about it all the time. You think about what happened to them last year and what was supposed to happen, where they were supposed to be. And they were supposed to make it to the Western Conference Final, and it didn't happen. Well, now it's only 72 games and not 82 games.
Right.
So right now, they feel like, hey, we need to hit the ground running and get as much of an advantage. I'm sure right now their goal is to gain home court advantage, if not have the best record. Well, if that's the case, you need your stars to play and win games, point blank. So yeah. I think it's everything, and it's a great sign. And yes, he's healthy, like you both said. So if you're going to be healthy, let's go out and win as many games as we can right now. And then we can rest and get ready for the playoffs on the back end.
Well, we saw last year, right? The Lakers put so much energy into the regular season, building those good habits, building good defensive habits, while the Clippers treated the regular season, frankly, differently, right? Like, oh, we'll get there in the playoffs. We'll play together, develop that chemistry in the playoffs. It seems like the Clippers are doubling down on the regular season, and we saw a little bit of that with Kawhi.
But you can do that when you have a team that's been together for a while. If you got a new team, it's stars, new stars trying to figure out who's going to be the go-to guy and take the last shot of the game. Well, you need to play regular season to prepare for the postseason.
Absolutely, and we are. We're seeing it. All right, guys, I want to get to talking about the Knicks, so just hang on through this next commercial. The Knicks have won 3 straight games. They're sporting a 5-3 record. How big a deal is it? Can they keep winning? Stick around for that discussion. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends today on ESPN+. Our insiders telling you every Eastern Conference contender what they should or should not do in the James Harden sweepstakes. Should there be a trade? How much they give up? Check out all the pros and cons during the break, and then come back. We're talking a little bit New York basketball. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we started yesterday's show talking about the resurgence of the New York Knickerbockers. Well, last night they won their third straight, beating the Jazz at home by 12. Julius Randle dropping 30 points, grabbing 16 rebounds. And, guys, this is a Tom Thibodeau team, so you know they're going to get it done on the defensive end. Hat tip to our researcher here, Caesar. New York first in defensive field goal percentage, second in defensive efficiency, third in rebounds per game. Perk, how big a deal is it, this three-game win streak for the New York Knicks?
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. We haven't said anything good about the New York Knicks in so long, and now they're finally building the foundation. They got the ground level. Now they're about to lay the concrete. Sooner or later, they're going to be putting up the framework. But you look at guys like Julius Randle, who's now, he's feel comfortable. Tom Thibodeau is making him feel comfortable on the offensive end. You know what that goes to show me? That Tom Thibodeau, the time he was off in his 2 years, he reevaluated himself and he came back a different coach, because some of the plays that they're making and some of the freedom that they have on the offensive end, I never saw a Tom Thibodeau team have so much freedom, but I love it. But this team is good night. And Austin Rivers, this guy gets so much hate and discredit because, oh, his dad is Doc Rivers. People forget, Austin Rivers was that dude in high school. He was a great player, in my opinion, at Duke. He went lottery. He was expected to be a super all-star type player. He's showing that right now. 13 in the fourth yesterday to carry the Knicks. Go ahead, Austin, do your thing.
Yeah, I agree. This is a huge deal. We haven't talked about the Knicks being relevant, competitive, all of the above. Anything you can think of about the New York Knicks that they have not done, they're changing the narrative. They're playing hard. Like Perk said, Julius Randle is playing at another level. He's getting triple doubles. He's putting himself in positions where he's near triple double every night. And you just see it's free flowing. Guys are playing hard. I watched them play against the Hawks, and they were down 10, 12 points, but they continued to play hard. They were efficient. You see Julius Randle being more efficient on the offensive end, not turning the ball over, and defensively, they're just active and getting at it, getting out in the run, running the ball, and just trying to get as many easy baskets as possible, which is leading to three straight wins. So look out for the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, I've said
do they make the playoffs is the question.
Ooh, well, it's interesting, especially with the play-in round now at the beginning of this postseason. And I've said it for years, right? What has been so frustrating about the Knicks is not just that they've been losing, and they have been losing. They have had the worst record over the 6-7 seasons coming into this year. It's not that. Teams lose. Teams go through bad periods, and then they get better. It's the way the franchise was run. It was an insult to the fans who were so loyal to it, going through coaches like they were disposable, hiring and firing guys, never really giving some of these guys a chance. 8 coaches in 10 years, the way they treated some of the players, the way they treated some icons of the franchise that fans loved, Charles Oakley, Carmelo Anthony, what they did with Spike Lee. And you get the feeling that since March, right, since Leon Rose came in, there has been a significant culture change. Tom Thibodeau has been part of that culture change. And I just think the NBA is so much better when the Knicks are good. The Knicks are one of the premier teams of this league, and everybody has just been just waiting for this moment to happen. And it's not just that they're winning, guys. It's that they feel like they're doing things differently, and that it's just such a shift.
Yes.
It's such a change.
Absolutely. And they're fortunate because regardless of the Knicks fans not being happy, they still are loyal to their New York Knicks. They still come out and support them regardless. And you know, now you have something for them to, quote, unquote, be proud of because they're playing good basketball. And something, you know, it's positive. You know, you can say, now, look, hey, we're going to be all right. We got a chance now, instead of saying, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, absolutely. And now
go
ahead.
Somebody give me a fan because it's hot in this church because Rachel's speaking the gospel today.
I lived in New York for almost 20 years. I think Knicks fans deserve better than they've been getting, and I am excited to see one of, again, the most loyal fan bases in the country get something that they can be proud of, and that, frankly, where the franchise is showing them the respect that it did not show them throughout much of the last 6 or 7 years. So let's hope that it continues. I want to move over, guys, to the Magic-Cavs game because, man, this just stunk. Less than 5 minutes into the game, Markelle Fultz cut off by Cavs rookie Isaac Okoro. His left knee buckled without contact. Fultz was, of course, the number one pick in the 2017 draft. This was a season-ending torn ACL. Now, Markelle did sign a 3-year, $50 million extension last month. Came into last night's game averaging a career-best 14 points, 6 assists, just 7 games. So, Vince, what does this injury mean for Fultz and the Magic moving forward?
Well, for me personally, it hurts, and it's tough because I got the opportunity to kind of talk with him, Markelle, in his Sixers days, and when he was going through his ups and downs. And I think the best thing that happened to him was being moved onto Orlando and for a fresh start and just to kind of breathe and just be in a different space. I mean, you start to see his athleticism again. And one thing I said, they drafted you number one for a reason. Go show that. And I think Orlando Magic, the one thing that I think helped him was they said, hey, take your time, get healthy, and then we'll go from there. And I think doing that, he knew he had people in this corner. And to see him bounce back and play the way he's been playing, playing a confidence, playing, you kind of see why he was the number one pick because of his abilities and his athleticism, knowing the game. He's tough. He gets to the basket. He just loves to play. And to see this kid go through what he's gone through, to go through this, is just unfortunate, and I feel for him. But one thing I can say about him, of anybody going through this type of situation, he can handle it because he's been here before.
I agree. I feel bad for Markelle. I thought he was just finding his comfort zone and not worrying about trying to impress people of being the number one pick. And he was starting to play some beautiful basketball, starting to be that facilitator, that big that can handle the rock, get to the rack when he wants to, make plays for others, rebound at a high level. And he was playing with a motor. He was playing with joy. And guess what? He's been through worse. I tore my ACL, and it's not as bad as people think. Yes, it's a season-ending injury, and you never want to have to go through that. But he could bounce back, and he will bounce back. And guess what? All this is going to do is make him want to come back even stronger to prove the doubters wrong who was doubting him before. And also,
once again,
when you're out that long, you miss the game, and you don't take it for granted. When I was hurt, I had to sit out for 6 or 7 months, and I said, you know what, when I get back on the court, I would never take playing basketball in the NBA for granted again. Not that I did before, but I appreciate it so much more. So watch out to everybody in the league once he get healthy and come back next season.
Well, we certainly wish him a speedy recovery. Vince, you mentioned talking with him when he was in Philly. He came in and spent some time with us here at The Jump. He's a good kid, and he was playing like just on fire, and I really want good things for him in the future. I hope that he recovers as quickly as possible. All right, guys, up next, the Lakers are out to a strong 6-2 start heading into tonight's game against the Spurs. Is there any room for improvement for the defending champs? Perk has one recommendation. We'll hear that. Stick around. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Me and the crew are trying to decide if the studio's on fire. Kyrie Irving, he was on fire. 29 points, including 20 in the first half to lead the Nets to a win in their first game without KD. KD, of course, quarantining for a week because of some exposure of a close contact with COVID. Perk, do you expect Kyrie to keep putting up these numbers with KD out?
Absolutely. Rachel, I haven't seen Kyrie Irving this locked in since he won the championship with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his body language. He's in great shape. He's actually been the leader on the court. Kyrie Irving is locked in and is dangerous for the league, and he will keep it up.
Agreed. I think so. He's locked in. Like you said, he took the words right out of my mouth. I think he knows they have the opportunity to go deep into the playoffs, if not make it to the finals. So his guy, who he's been co-signing since the summer, is out. He's playing extremely well. He will continue to do so because he knows what it takes, and he's very capable of doing so.
All right, I want to get to our League Pass game of the night, too, gentlemen. Only 5 games tonight, so 2 of those are on TNT. You know the rules for our producers. They cannot pick a national TV game. So they went with the defending champion Lakers hosting the Spurs at 10 o'clock Eastern. Lakers already 2-0 against the Spurs this season. Seem to be cruising with 6-2. But Perk, student of the game, any areas for improvement for this team right now?
They do, Rachel. And the one thing is with Frank Vogel is figuring out some rotation, a rotation. He has a lot of talent and a lot of pieces over there that he has to figure out. Guys like Wesley Matthews, Alex Caruso when he comes back. You know, figuring out where he's going to implement them into the system, into the offense. But the biggest key is Kyle Kuzma. They have to figure out what are they going to do with Kyle Kuzma, how they're going to play him, what role is he going to play, and break it down to him. Because he's still times I'm watching the Los Angeles Lakers, and he still look lost.
I agree. There's always room for improvement. I mean, yes, they're playing great basketball. They know what they're trying to accomplish at the end of the day. They know championship or nothing for their organization. But I agree with Perk. You want Kyle Kuzma, and you need Montrezl Harrell. You need those guys to play some great basketball to continue to be dominant as you move into the playoffs, because they're going to play a role. You know, sometimes your bigs are going to be in foul trouble. You play small where you use Montrezl at the five or something. So you need him to get comfortable and get acclimated to their culture, the way they play over there. Because it's one thing on the outside looking in, thinking you know, but it's another thing when you're being implemented into it. So that's, I think, the things that they maybe need to improve. Other than that, Lakers, as usual, doing their thing.
I mean, look, we knew that. You're right, Vince, and we knew that was going to take some time. It's interesting you guys both bring up Kuzma. You know, he told the media right before the season started, I don't know what my role is on this team. After Frank Vogel heard that, he actually sat Kuz down, and they sort of had a bit of a heart-to-heart. But clearly, still working out who he should be on the court. We expect to watch them tonight do just that. Thanks, Vince and Perk, for joining me. Back tomorrow.